and BriggsAuto.com. Get in the game. Here we go!
Hello and welcome to the game. I'm John Kurtz, joined by Tyler Dreiling and Mitch Fortner. Back with you for a full 2 hours today. Royals got their ball game out of the way earlier today. They already knocked off the Tampa Bay Rays to win that series. Today on the show, we'll talk with Cole Manbeck at 4:30 about Sean Snyder, the future of K-State football, in light of all the stories that have come out this week. And speaking of that, one of them was written by George Schrader from USA Today, college football writer. He will join the program at 5:10. He got a chance to sit down for a while with Bill Snyder in Phoenix at the Big 12 meetings, so I'm curious to know what he took away from that conversation. We'll also have You Can't Be Serious at 5:50. Going to mix in a little bit of Kansas hate throughout the show. I know that's always a popular one. When it gets slow, crutch that we can lean back on, just getting people to hate Kansas, right?
So shame on you.
We'll do that here today on the show. 537-1350-866-776-1350. If you want to call us up, you can also tweet us at the game KMAN if you have questions or comments. Well, it's always tough on a day like today to know exactly what to open up with because there is no real big overbearing story. The Royals did win, and I do want to talk in the open here just a bit about it. One piece of the game today that really stood out to me, but one thing that came to my attention late in the day, I had a couple people send this to me, and I don't think it is anything that's a big deal. I'm curious to see what the reaction will be as K-State fans have more time to digest this story, but it is about Gene Taylor, new athletic director at K-State, reading a story from the AP today that talks about an audit of the University of Iowa Athletics Department. So Gene Taylor was at Iowa as deputy AD before coming here to K-State. There had already been a little bit of uneasiness, I think, probably at the release of what happened last week. A jury awarded $1.4 million in damages for discrimination, unequal pay, and retaliation. It was a former top aide of Gary Barta, who is the AD at Iowa. Basically, had Jane Meyer, a former top aide, sue and say she was making $70,000 less than Gene Taylor but doing the same amount of work. She actually won that case. The university's case was that Gene Taylor was making 70 grand more because he was overseeing IT at Iowa. And that's where we picked things up today, because what this audit found was that basically the IT aspect of Iowa's athletic department, there was a lot left to be desired with how that was being managed. So this is one quote from Jane Meyer's attorney. It says, it turns out the one area they claimed Taylor was doing was the one extra area, excuse me, they claimed Taylor was doing was being handled incredibly poorly. Some of the stuff that they found, players were not charged for lost iPads. Technology was poorly tracked. TVs, different electronic items that they had out to people, a la the iPads. There were extra days booked on trips for people within the department that wound up costing 43% more in expenses in just 1 year. So the IT expenses went up by 43%. Now, what I don't know is how much of this is directly tied to Gene Taylor. I have no idea. They did have the IT director at Iowa, Patrick Dielen, left his job in February, so he resigned as all this was happening. Could be much more on him, all on him. I don't know. So I'm not going to rush to any overarching big judgment here, but it certainly is. I mean, it's tough to sit here and say that it's not at least something of note that you need to keep in the back of your mind, and it's not the greatest publicity to have out there right now. And it comes at the same time that, you know, Gene Taylor has just started his job. He's been on the job for 11 days now. He's been very quiet, and I think that's his style, and he's obviously trying to get to know everybody and get the lay of the land here, so I understand. But I've heard some people complain about that aspect of it just because it's such a stark contrast to John Curry, and now we hear nothing from him. He did not comment for this AP story, and we have this information about what was happening at Iowa. So it's not the greatest of looks today. I will state that.
Yeah, it's hard to draw a whole lot of really concrete conclusions from this just from the information that we have. But two things that I think that we both agree on with this is, number one, something of significance from K-State's perspective is whether or not Gene Taylor knew that these things were going on and shared those with the athletic director selection committee from K-State when he was going through the interview process, because if he did know and he did share that information, then I don't think that K-State really has anything to worry about. But if he did know and he withheld that information, that is certainly not a good look for him whatsoever. The other thing, and you actually mentioned this first, but it's a very good point. Isn't this just a direct opposite of the kind of thing that would have happened under K-State's previous regime in John Curry? It's just a very strange story because
it would have happened under Bob Krause, not
right.
John Curry. Right.
Right. I mean, that's essentially what I'm saying. It's showing, you know, maybe a little bit that K-State was trying to go in the exact opposite direction with their new athletic director. But
yeah, I mean, that was the biggest thing that struck me is it just, you know, I know you wouldn't want it to take a negative story from the guy's previous stop to make you think this, but we already knew based on how much talk there was about relationship building with Gene Taylor, and that was his forte, that was his strength. We've been beat over the head with that in a good way, and we understand that that is his big strength. That was John Curry's biggest weakness. So there's already that contrast. Now, what John Curry was all about was, one, fiscal responsibility, being transparent, making sure that all the fat is trimmed from the budget. So this would, you know, I'm sure make his skin crawl. This is the total opposite of that type of thing. So whereas John Curry was all about the outside appearance of everything and the substance inside was not always great, Gene Taylor seems to be a guy who is kind of on the opposite end of the spectrum as far as that is concerned. And, you know, this, regardless of what his involvement was in it, would lead you to believe that just, yes, that is not his strong suit like it was with John Curry. Doesn't mean it can't be better here at K-State. Doesn't mean that stuff like this will happen at K-State at all. There's a lot of different ways that you could address that and make that not be so. But it does, to me, just further that narrative like, hey, this is going to be a different type of regime. And I'm really combining everything here because, honestly, I felt like almost bringing up the topic on the show just because I had seen enough chatter about it from K-State fans just that it's already so much different than what John Curry was like when he took over. There's no letters out to the fan base. There's not all the window dressing that was going on with John Curry. Gene Taylor is his own guy, and it has been much different. And then you have something like this, too, and you say, okay, well, maybe that would be another area where he is just so much different than what you had previously at athletic director.
Yeah, I don't know what happens next. You know, I don't know how all of this plays out. It's not very normal for athletic departments to have issues like this that do not really involve anything as far as on the field. I mean, it's pretty much exclusively inside the actual athletic department itself and doesn't have anything to do with, you know, paying players or any kind of scandal that would lead to Iowa vacating wins or being on probation or something like that. So
This is nothing like that. Yeah, I don't know really what happens next. I mean, it could really just be,
you know, it's not something like the NCAA would want to get involved in. It's a unique, truly, that word gets used too much, but it's a unique situation that you just do not see in athletic departments.
Yeah, I would just say it could be a good reminder, like, hey, this might be an area to just make sure that you shore up, you're paying more attention to when you come to your next stop here at K-State. So I mean, we'll keep you updated if we hear anything else about that. But for right now, if you want to read the article, it was just on the AP. I found it on the Washington Post. We can see if we can get it tweeted out. But I did have it sent to me a couple times earlier today by a few different people. More or less, Gene Taylor oversaw the IT department at Iowa. They got audited, and spending had gone up 43% in 1 year and just seemed to be poorly managed by all accounts as far as the audit is concerned at Iowa. All right, that was, I feel like talking about stories like that, you know that I like to have fun, and it's sometimes when you have to delve into something like that, I feel like I'm just swimming around like in weeds or something trying to get out of it. It's just weighing me down to have to talk about something like that serious and get into all the ins and outs and all the details. A little more fun today. The Royals won. They won a series against the Tampa Bay Rays. Basically, I mean, the offense came around late, but basically because Jason Vargas was just awesome again, tossed 5 shutout innings today. Through 6 starts, man, a 1.19 ERA, he's pretty ridiculous. And actually, I take that back. His ERA went down to 1.01 today after start number 7 this year. So he's ridiculous right now. Starting pitching has been really good, but Vargy, in the infamous words of Mike Moustakas, Vargy pitched a great game.
Yeah.
Vargy pitched a great game.
Well, the Royals now have the 4th best starting pitcher's ERA in baseball. and they are 13-21. So, you know, what do you do with that? I don't know. But I do agree with a lot of the things that Rex Hudler was saying on the broadcast today, which was you got to start somewhere. Winning 3 out of 4 is a positive sign. And the Royals did manage to score 21 runs over the 4-game series, which included only scoring one in the blowout loss that they had last night. So Eric Hosmer continues to be red hot. Salvador Perez was really, really good in this series. They're trending in the right direction, and Jason Vargas has been the brightest spot on the team so far. There's no doubt about it.
Well, this is what it leads me to start thinking about, because you're right. They have had great starting pitching. Vargas has been awesome, and they're still 13-21, 8 games under. I still have prepared myself for fire sale coming. Maybe the biggest part of the fire sale doesn't have to be as painful as we would think. Maybe Jason Vargas is the first guy on the trading block, because if he still is pitching like this in a couple of months when trade talks really heat up, and you're talking about a left-handed starter, which is the best kind of currency that you could have in baseball, he'd be a rent-a-player, but he is 34, so if a team was interested in re-signing him, I don't think he's going to get some kind of major deal. He's making $8 million a season. Basically right now with the deal that he signed with the Royals. I think he could be a pretty good trade bait. And there's a guy that you could go get prospects from that would not hurt everybody near as much emotionally in losing him, right? Like, I mean, Vargas is nice. He's been a part of this. But Vargas is not one of the core group that would really tear you up if he were to go.
Yeah, I don't think that it's very realistic that he would be able to offer much in the trade market unless he actually still had an ERA of like 1.1. here like a month or 6 weeks from now, maybe then he would. But you're still talking about a guy, and we've talked about this with some of the other guys that Dave Moore has brought in to pitch, specifically their bullpen guys, but at what point do they turn back into a pumpkin? Well, with Jason Vargas and his medical history, that's the biggest problem here, is that he, at any time, I feel like his next pitch could be his last pitch, not just for the season, but in his major league career, just because of all of the things that he's dealt with. So does a team really want to risk some of their top prospects to bring in a guy that has been very, very good this year, but you really don't know at all what you're actually going to get out of him down the stretch of the season? I don't think that he would fetch that much on the market, but it's been really fun to watch him so far.
You could get something. I mean, it's not going to be probably what you get from like Eric Hosmer, for instance, if he, you know, continues to put up the numbers that he's been putting up lately. I think you could get something from him, and I think especially as we get further and further along, closer and closer to the deadline, somebody really needs starting pitching help, an injury in a starting rotation. You know, it was an injury to Adam Eaton that really heated up the talk about center fielder potentially going to the Nationals in the form of Lorenzo Cain. You know, wait for an injury to happen with somebody in their rotation. Someone finds themselves in a Royals-esque spot after what happened with Yordano Ventura. Maybe he does turn up as a guy that could fetch you at least something. I think it's a nice compromise, is basically what I'm saying. If Vargas were to be one of the guys that goes, if it continues to go like this, where he's pitching really well and the team's still struggling, that would seem to be a pretty good outcome for me. Get rid of Jason Vargas, you don't have to cry inside as much, and you might still have a piece coming back.
It's just strange because I don't know why he's been so good. It's not like his velocity is much different than it's ever been. I'm not really seeing like a crazy amount of movement on his pitches. He still looks like Jason Vargas, it's just that he's getting guys out now. I can't really figure it out.
Don't question it. Just go with it. Just let it happen. We're going to talk with George Schrader, USA Today, national college football writer at 5:10, who wrote one of the two big Bill Snyder, Sean Snyder articles that's been going around this week. Speaking of that, talk with our friend Cole Manbeck coming up next. Is he open to Sean Snyder as the next head coach? You're listening to The Game.